Penguin Random House Audio presents Our Ancient Faith, Lincoln, Democracy, and the American Experiment by Alan C. Gelzo. Read for you by Justin Price. For my beloved grandchildren, to whom I offer Abraham Lincoln as an invitation to democracy, Abigail, Sophia, Caleb, Cora, Isabel, Violet, Sonny, and Patrick. I believe in democracy. I accept it. I will faithfully serve and defend it. I believe in it because it appears to me the inevitable consequence of what has gone before it. Democracy asserts the fact that the masses are now raised to a higher intelligence than formerly. All our civilization aims at this mark. We want to do what we can to help it. I myself want to see the result. I grant it as an experiment, but it is the only direction society can take that is worth its taking, the only conception of its duty large enough to satisfy its instincts, the only result that is worth an effort or a risk. Every other possible step is backward. Henry Adams, Democracy, an American Novel, 1880. I understand a ship to be made for the carrying and preservation of the cargo, and so long as the ship can be saved with the cargo, it should never be abandoned. This union should likewise never be abandoned, unless it fails and the probability of its preservation shall cease to exist. So long, then, as it is possible that the prosperity and the liberties of the people can be preserved in the union, it shall be my purpose at all times to preserve it. Abraham Lincoln, New York Daily Herald, Morning Edition, February 21, 1861. Quarry the granite rock with razors, or moor the vessel with a thread of silk, then you may hope with such keen and delicate instruments as human knowledge and human reason to contend against those giants, the passion and the pride of man. John Henry Newman, Knowledge Its Own End, in The Idea of a University. Abraham Lincoln, it seems to me that when he walks the streets of the New Jerusalem, that angel wings are bowed in reverence as he passes, and angel fingers are pointing, while angel lips are whispering, "There goes the great emancipator." Robert P. Kennedy, Address, October 13, 1903, in Antietam, Report of the Ohio Antietam Battlefield Commission, 1904. This coronet of freedom, brighter than ever, decked monarch's brow, all radiant with freedom's stars, a grateful, loving, trusting people, placed on the head of Abraham Lincoln, and the head was worthy to wear it. Freedom made and freedom crowned him, and that crown shall ever be ours, for never, no, never, no, never, shall our glorious national diadem be circled by a star or a gem that is not the willing offering of freedom and free men. Edward F. Cutter, Eulogy on Abraham Lincoln, delivered at Rockland, Maine, April 19, 1865. It is doubtful if there ever was a death which seems to have produced so deep an effect on so many people of all classes. It is almost incredible. The papers are full. The expression of feeling is not external merely, as is often the case with great men, but Lincoln had a hold on the hearts of this great nation, such as no man but Washington ever had before. He had, too, a more difficult task to accomplish than Washington. John Langdon Sibley, Diary Entry for April 23, 1865, Harvard University Archives. Introduction. The Disposition of Democracy. We have all heard the dreary complaints at one time or another, and now perhaps more than ever. Democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the others, according to Winston Churchill. Democracy is the rule of hooligans, according to Jason Brennan. Democracies are historical accidents that are closing before our eyes, according to Jean-Francois Revel. Or worse, they slouch toward becoming flabby, prosperous, self-satisfied, inward-looking, weak-willed states. according to Francis Fukuyama. Conventional democratic ideas are fairy tales, according to Christopher H. Aiken and Larry M. Bartels. Democracies have no use for beauty or community, according to Richard Legutko. Democracies die at the hands of the governments they elect, according to Stephen Levitsky and Daniel Ziblatt. Two cheers, and only two cheers, for democracy, according to E.M. Forster. Perhaps none of this should strike us with any surprising force. We have lived through a century in which democracies have been repeatedly tried and repeatedly failed, or worse, been easily subverted or overthrown. And the most recent failures were cruelest in their impact for having arrived, after 1991, at a moment when democracy seemed to have emerged unchallengeable from a generation-long struggle with its most serious totalitarian rival. Solidarnosc triumphed in Eastern Europe. The Berlin Wall crumbled and the Soviet overlords disappeared. The goddess of freedom reared her torch on Tiananmen Square. And then, almost as quickly, democracy sagged and, in many places, collapsed. Tiananmen Square was brutally emptied. A former Soviet intelligence operative shrewdly twisted post-Soviet elections into a nationalist authoritarianism. The fastest-growing and most aggressive economy in the world belonged to a repressive dictatorship which had been fathered by one of the most genocidal minds of modern times. According to the annual surveys published by Freedom House, the number of people living in genuinely democratic states has fallen by more than half since 2003. Even in places where the cardboard facade of democracy is maintained, the countervailing forces of state control of media, curbs on political assembly, judicial corruption, and bureaucratic metastasis make a mockery of the word. Yet at the same moment, real democracies too often allow themselves to be judged by the pitiless standards of their rivals. They drown themselves in guilt for any absence of perfection, ignore real imperfections with indignation, and imagine every difficulty to be a crisis. They are as vulnerable to their own self-criticism as they are to external aggression. The biographer of democracy's earliest champion has spoken of democracy as one of the rarest, most delicate, and fragile flowers in the jungle of human existence. After all, he reasoned, democracy was the rule of the day for only 200 years in its birthplace, Athens, and disappeared thereafter for two millennia. If durability and persistence were the measure of political success, the intervening centuries of monarchy, oligarchy, and despotism would send democracy to the bottom of the most desired list of political theories. The United States of America is the longest still-functioning large-scale democracy in the world. Created as a republic on the model of Republican Rome in the late 18th century, it had a strong democratic torque from the beginning, which only became more pronounced in its first four decades of life. Its founding documents, its Declaration of Independence from Great Britain and its Federal Constitution of 1787, articulate many of what have become accepted as fundamental principles of a democracy: the natural equality of all humanity, as opposed to traditional or organic hierarchy, a national government of explicitly limited powers, and a separation of even those powers within the national government. But the United States was, and is, by no means a pure democracy. Even in 1787, the sheer size of the American Republic seemed to make the model of democracy everyone knew best, the face-to-face democracy of ancient Athens, impractical, if not downright dangerous. And that impracticality has only grown more mountainous as the average size of congressional districts spills over the line of 700,000 people. Even more troubling to the American founders were the reminders that Athens' democracy had not always behaved well or wisely. The Athenian assembly made heroes of scoundrels like Alcibiades and martyrs of free thinkers like Socrates. "There is," warned James Madison, "a degree of depravity in mankind which requires a certain degree of circumspection and distrust, and nowhere was that distrust more justified than in democracies." Had every Athenian citizen been a Socrates, Madison warned, every Athenian assembly would still have been a mob. With that caution in view, The American Constitution of 17...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?